Good evening, Patriots. A couple of quick things. One, remember, we are really pushing to support MyPillow, MyPillow.com with Mike Lindell. It's one of our big pushes through now into Bard's Fest, at least, and probably well beyond. We're trying to get 1 million Patriots in My Slippers and whatever other great things you find over on MyPillow site. You can use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S, that promo code, on MyPillow.com. And you can also call the 800 number, 800-975-2939, which is a special 800 number for the cool B-dads and bards at Bards Patriots. And anyone else that wants to be cool and be a Bards Patriots that not isn't currently a Bards Patriot, they want to be really a super cool Bards Patriot, you can call that number too. I don't think they require ID when you call that number to ask if you're a Bards Patriot, but you can tell them you are. And you can tell them like, oh, hey, I heard about you from the coolest, bestest, greatest podcast on the entire globe. And that would be Bards FM. And then you can tell them all the great things you want to buy. And we're doing that not only because it's just a great company. We're really pushing to support MyPillows because this tyrannical Nazis that are trying to run our corporate world have been trying to extinguish Mike Lindell after he is truly one of the greatest patriots out here. And their products, and just so I'm clear about this, I don't promote stuff unless I like it. I have their products. I have the slippers, I have my pillows, I have my sheets, I have my comforter, and I have my towels. Unfortunately, well, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, I don't have a My Doggy bed, which means I will not get kicked out and have to sleep on a My Doggy bed. And guys, if you get in trouble and have to sleep on a My Doggy bed, I'm going to tell you, one, you better make amends, and two, you can guarantee you'll have a good night's sleep. So there you go. So My Doggy beds may not be such a bad investment after all. So get on over there to MyPillow.com and give some love to our greatest patriot and CEO in the nation by using the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and pick out some great things for your family and your loved ones and for your lovely pet. Now, one other bit of news, just because I just got this, and so I'm keeping people informed. Dr. Tenpenny, on the 10th of July, is having her live webinar again on the 20 Mechanisms of Injury, which is a seminar. There's a fee for that seminar. It's really good value. It's a seminar, and it's a lot of things that are in this. Let me see if I can find all the goodies that come with this seminar. So it's you get an ebook, which is the 20 Mechanisms of Injury, and you get the training as the ebook. You get a 2-page reference document, over two hours of live training. And then you can get a recording of the training, and you can get a transcription of the live training. These tools are arming us to fight this war against, shall I say it, the zombies. So we need to be armed. And so anyway, the price is $199 for the full package, and $195 if you've purchased the ebook separately. So if you're at all interested, I think it's a great seminar. It's on July 10th. And I believe that is a Saturday. It is a Saturday. And you can cruise on over to her website at drtenpenny.com. And you can click that RSVP button under events. You go over there in the little bar on top as it says events. And under events, you'll see upcoming events. And then you'll see live webinar, 20 Mechanisms of Injury. And that's the one you click on, Patriots, right there. Whoop, just like that. Oh, it looks like I'm looking over here right now. It looks like there's another one with critical thinking with Dr. Larry. We love Dr. Larry. I think that's right. Yeah, Dr. Larry. He's awesome. He'll make you critically think. He'll make you critically think that if you took the vax, it was probably a good thing because then you won't have to reproduce or something like that. But that's me talking. So anyway, I'll tell you, we have some crazy people out here right now. But let's not dig into that too hard tonight. My goodness. So, Patriots, I want to read Colossians 1:16. I think this is a rather direct and profound passage. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read a passage like that, I'm kind of like, huh, there's no room for debate on that. It's pretty clear. And I look around the world, and I look around all these people taking the vax, and I go, maybe I should start with that verse today. So you almost like you want to run outside and go, can I read you something? And they're going to be like, you'll be like, huh? Well, can I read you something? Yeah. Do you know what you just did to yourself, first of all? And you'd be like, I took the vax. Are you feeling better? Like, yes. Do you understand that you're no longer human? Oh, you're a tin hatter. Well, we'll find out about that in about 3 or 4 months when you're either dropping dead or turning into green into a lizard, but one of the two. But I'm very serious in this, is that there is this passage is so direct, and there's no room for debate on this passage. The only room for debate is, do you believe in God or do you not? It's that simple. If you believe in God, this passage is complete, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. That means everything. Just in case anybody's confused about that, that means everything. Visible and invisible. That takes care of dimensions we can't see. And for those people that are out here looking for the little green men and the invisible aliens, yep, if they're there, God created those too, so don't worry. They're right there. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, that even means hand puppet Joe. He was created by God. Oh, man. That one's just got to be a painful one. He looks over and says, yeah, I did create him. Probably created him just to wake us up. God's like, I got a surprise coming for you. I'm going to stick a Muppet up there for your president. And then you're going to see what's really going on. Be like, thank you, God, for finally waking this country up. All things were created through him and for him. That's the last part, that little catch on the end. For him, not just through him, but for him. You know, it's like, okay, is there any debate here? Is there anything that we have left that we're going to talk about today? Class, any hands up? It's like, no, there isn't. God created all things. And yet we are out here, people going, oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die of a cold virus. And you're like, okay, well, look, let me just go back to the beginning here. God created all things, and you were one of those things. So everything has a life, and don't worry, you'll have a death. That's just guaranteed. That's one of those things. You are born into this world naked. You're going out of this world naked. You're not taking your car. You're not taking anything with you. In and out, same way, except when you go out, you're going to be a little older and a little more wrinkled. Okay, that's it. Less hair, too. Well, I don't know about that. Babies don't have that much hair, so maybe not. Maybe you have the same amount of hair coming in and going out. If you take the vax, you're going to be coming in, and then I don't know how you're going out. You're probably going out as a lizard, shedding your skin or something. You know, it just gets to this level of insanity, because what we're really looking at is this, and you all know how I feel about this. I mean, I'm pretty opinionated, and not that you could ever tell, right? I don't think I'd ever shows that I'm opinionated. Maybe a little bit. Maybe once in a while I let it slip. Like when I say, you're an idiot for taking the vax. Maybe I have a strong opinion there once in a while. Or like, oh, you took the vax. Well, you're just stupid. Oh, sorry. Yes, that was my opinion. But, you know, it's like we look at this, and there's kind of I'm sitting here just looking at these numbers, and they're not good. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. But I'm seriously like, okay, let's take a look at these numbers here. Think if I can find them again. I had them up just a minute ago. And it's like, okay, well, how many people have taken the vax? Oh, check this out. I just want to change this title. It says number of fully vaccinated globally. I want to change this to number that have proven themselves to be idiots globally. I mean, seriously, listen to this. 826,412,860. Huh, 412,860. Now, I can take this two ways. One, I can sit here and cry and mourn over it. And there's a side of me that's really sad. I mean, it as Dr. Pilevsky said the other night, we're all broken in a certain way over this. We're not broken because they broke us. We're brokenhearted over this. That's 800 million people that are now deciding that, well, I don't like what God did to me. I don't like what God gave me. I think I just want to turn myself into a transhuman. That's 826 million people that I now have to, we all have to figure out how we're going to drive down the road when they're all dead. Because not everybody has a four-wheel drive. That's 826 million people that are literally potential zombies. That's 826 million people that are going to need urns. You know, I could go on the list of the stupidness of this. And it breaks us all when we look at this. So we can take it two ways. We can like get totally dialed up about it. Or we can just kind of look at this and shake our head and go, all right. You know, we'll do our best to try to bring people over, but God created all things. And the part that I keep coming back to on this topic, and I beat this topic to death, and I will beat this topic to death for a long time. I've never had much patience for self-imposed ignorance. I just don't have much patience for it. I understand that there are decisions people make, and I've made them. They're not good. And you either don't think it through well, you do a knee-jerk reaction, but it's not because I went into something not having knowledge. It's because I may have rushed a decision, right? But the one part about it is I had to and will always face the consequences. And sometimes those consequences can be painful. What we have right now is a mass of people that are out here literally thinking that they escaped consequences. And they're out here swinging around like this is no big deal. And it is a big deal. And the sad part is when we really dig into the numbers, I don't have the exact percentage, but I can tell you when I start running down the thing and it says, okay, the world's total population of injected is 10.9%. Now, again, this is a, this actually was sent to me by Dr. Tenpenny as the site to check. Now, it's called pharmaceutical-technology.com. Let me put it up here for everybody. pharmaceutical-technology.com/COVID-19 vaccine tracker. Okay. So we can kind of where I was starting with this, it's almost like we're supposed to, in their idea to take this, it's like one, either we're supposed to be celebrating that they got injected, or if something goes wrong, we're supposed to mourn. I've got an answer to this. I'm not going to mourn. And that's one thing I'm done with. We've carried this. We've had our anger. We've had our burden. And right now, between now and these coming months, especially at Bard's Fest, what I'm hoping that we leave there with is closure. Not closure because we don't love people. Not closure because we don't care. But closure over this ridiculous burden that they put on us as we know the truth and they don't want to hear it. And that is ultimately, we're in a process right now. We have to go through acceptance. And so I'm not going to be always serious about the topic. Sometimes I'm going to be just a sarcastic slime, if that's really a word. But I'm going to be sarcastic about it because it's unbelievable to me how this many people in the United States in particular could have turned their back on God and turned their faith into a government that they themselves have told you it is corrupt. Here's the craziest part of this whole thing. The left wants to tear this government down because it's horrible and tyrannical. And they want to replace it with something else. I don't know. And they hate Wall Street because Wall Street makes money and they think that everybody should be poor or at least like on some sort of commune. And as long as they're not on the commune and everybody else is, they're happy. But here's the most insane part of this. Wall Street is bragging about the money they're making, and the left has taken the injection more. I mean, I constantly work through these sort of inversions, and I shake my head at what happened to the brain cells, literally. What happened to common sense? And then we have this other portion of people that are supposed to be like hardcore patriots, many of which are Christians, and they take the vax. And you're like, okay. And then when I say things like, oh, you got salvation through a needle, they're like, salvation is forever. And I'm like, okay, really? Well, you just changed your damn DNA. So how are you going to talk to God? I'm just curious. Because frequency is through the DNA, and you connect through vibration and frequency and energy. And your engine is your heart, and that's where God speaks, and you just screwed it all up with an injection. So good luck with that decision, and tell me salvation works. That's the pure science of it. And they just want to ignore truth. And they want to ignore these concepts. So this is where I'm kind of going with this tonight, is that we need to find a better way to communicate. Because apparently communicating with truth is more like hitting a hammer with a hammer, and it's not working, and they have a steel casing around their brain. And the only thing it does is it causes a little disruption, and it dents their steel casing, and then they get upset. And then I don't think we're helping anything, because what brain matter is left in there probably leaks. And it goes down into the repository and there depends, and we lose it all. But God has created all things, and God has created everything, including these people who have turned their back on God. Can you imagine? I mean, what other species in the world literally goes out here? And I'll give you a good example. How about a garden? You go outside and you have kale growing, and you say, what's wrong with my kale? And you look around and you're like, wait a minute. How come the kale is now growing, has incorporated the pressure-treated lumber in with its stock because it wants to be a hybrid? I mean, that's like what we're looking at here. Like you put a pressure-treated stock base around your bed, and then all of a sudden the kale decides to merge with it, so you're going to eat pressure-treated kale. This is the sort of insanity that we're dealing with here. And if that turns your stomach, then just think about what these people are turning themselves into. Because there is nothing here that's human. In fact, if you listen to Dr. Tenpenny's recent interview on her site, and you know that I interviewed Celeste, and she just interviewed Celeste, and I'll get you the whole interview here. And this is Celeste Solem. And Dr. Tenpenny interviewed her on June 29th. You can find it on her Podbean account. And it's Celeste Solem, The Truth About What We Really Face Today. Here's Celeste's basic comment, and I don't disagree with her at all. She says, if you've taken the injection, you begin the transition to this new transhuman, and because of the nature of what they've put in you, you are no longer human. You are in transition, and I agree with that. What people aren't getting is we talk about transhumanism as if it is coming. Patriots, transhumanism is here. It just happened. It's happening. And even though they've tried all these different ways of making it happen, like spraying stuff in the air, like saturating your food, trying to dumb down the society with other injections, they've been prepping the ground. Well, they've been doing is prepping the ground for this moment in time when the real doozy of injections, the one that's supposed to solve the fake COVID scare, and the one that is said from the very beginning that would cure nothing, the one that is said to have only at best it would reduce symptoms. What type of lunacy accepts an experimental injection to reduce symptoms? I mean, there's just this constant brain dislodging going on. And while we need to be temperate and we have to have some grace, there is a principle of truth here. And a stupid decision is a stupid decision. And people don't like that because, and this is really in our, in the Christian culture, like that's harsh. It's judgment. I'm not judging anybody. It's dumb. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. This is not a judgment. You were just an idiot for doing it. And you didn't think it through. And it's not like, it wasn't like you drove your car over the curb and you dented your rims and you can go replace your rims. You can't get this stuff out of you. And here's the best part. It's growing within them. The hydrogel and the nanotech, once it's in people, doesn't stop growing. It continues to grow. That's what they're not getting. That's why they are no longer human. And that's what the truth is of this. It's coming out more and more. We keep saying, well, you know, there's a point, and I do believe it, and I've said it, and I do believe that we are in a window where we can encourage people to come across, and we can encourage them to put Christ in their heart, and we can pray for them. And I think that we need to, and we have to do as much of that as possible, because the only hope that they have is that they can be healed through the blood of Christ and accepting Christ into their life. And that means if they accepted Christ into their life before, they're starting over. Because you've got to start over with the most important place in all of this. And that is this. You have to have accountability. And this is going to be the obstacle that most won't want to cross. So back to my metaphor I've talked about in going down a river. And we start at the headwaters of a river. By the way, if you've never gone to the headwaters of a river and then walked the whole river, it's a really amazing experience. So you're at the headwaters of a river where it begins, and you start going down the mountain where it moves, and it slowly gets wider, and the terrain gets rougher on each side as it would happen. But you can generally see each other, and even though you're going down the river, even in the rougher rapids, there's always calm enough water that it's pretty easy to cross. But the farther you go down and the wider the river gets, that distance gets farther and farther, and the crossing gets more and more difficult, because as in my county, where there is a river that literally is one river in this whole county, which is amazing, because it goes from the headwaters to the ocean in one county. When you get down near the ocean, now you get this other current flowing in, which is the ocean water flowing in, so you get undertows and cross eddies, and it gets very difficult to swim across. So imagine now that you're on the other bank, and you've made the choice to walk that way away from God, and you're now on the other bank. Now, you haven't taken the injection yet. So now you get up to this point, and you're looking over there, and you kind of have this thought, well, maybe I should return to God. You can still swim, and you can have somebody over there looking at you. And even if you start to swim out a ways and you get a little tired, that's kind of where that beautiful place of grace comes in, because you can swim across and you can greet somebody and you can help them. Maybe it's encouraging them. Maybe they can relax a bit and you can do a life-saving technique on them. But you can help them, right? But here's the catch. Now they make that step a little bit farther down, closer and closer to the mouth of the river. And that next step is, oh, I'm going to take the injection. So they take the injection, and they walk a little bit farther down the river, and this time they wake up. And they wake up and they go, what did I do? What in the heck did I do? And now they're panicked, and they look over and they're like, there's that other side of the river. I want to get there, but here's the problem. And this is the metaphor I want you to put in your head. When they took that injection, something else happened too. And the metaphor is this: as they knew how to swim before, though they knew it was long and hard, swimming was a process of knowing how to get back to God. That's the metaphor, right? But once they take the injection, everything's off. They can't connect with God again, not like they did before. That's a known fact. There's a diminishing of at least 30 to 40% of a desire to connect to God, because the frequency is being adjusted in the body, because the DNA is being screwed with by this mRNA and this nanotech. This isn't making up stuff. This is what it is. So after they take the injection and they suddenly come to the realization and they say, now what do I do? Now what do I do? But there's the problem. Just like we were talking about, yeah, they used to know how to swim, but now they suddenly forgot how to swim. That's the problem. Or at least they've forgotten all their techniques of how to swim. And so it's not like they can't see the other side. It's not like they might have some desire to get to the other side, but the memory of how to get over there is distancing. So that understanding of that relationship with God diminishes. We've heard the reports of people saying, I can't feel God anymore. Guess what? It's real. So I don't know where we go with this, other than to say that our force, our position always has to be the same. We have to try to pray. And within this pool of people, there's going to be some that will listen to our words. And there will be some that we can pull across, and we have to try. That's the point I've been trying to make this whole week, is that we can't just walk away. And we have to have the strength and the ability to reach across. But there is a point coming, and I feel it. I can't tell you anything more than that. I feel it. I'm looking at the science. I'm looking at what's happening, the status, the stats on this. There is a terminal point coming, and I think it's coming on this next shot. And it's going to take the form of the flu shot, or it's going to take the form of some booster that they're going to need because of the COVID variant and the Delta and all this other nonsense they're pumping down people's head. And people are going to be like, what do I do? What do I do? And they're like, don't worry, we're here to help. Oh, who are you? I'm paid by the government, but I work for a pharmaceutical company, and we have your best interest in mind. That's pretty much what they're being told. And so they're like, oh, yes, please help me, help me. Why now? Why so eager? Because that first shot diminished that little memory, just dimmed, didn't take it away. It dimmed that memory. It dimmed that connection with God. It was already damaged because they chose to walk away from God. Now that second shot dims it. Now the third shot, it's like, whoa. Once they take that third shot, it's like you took the candle and broke it in half. The only way you're going to light it now is to dig that wick out and pull it out and then use a Bunsen burner to burn down some of the wax to get that thing lit again. This is a very, very dangerous and terminal decision people are making. And so there's two components that sit before us. One of those is that we have to, and I believe very strongly with this, we have to continue to elevate our voice. We have to be loud. We have to be heard, and we have to try to break through some of this fear. And that also means we have to be creative, because people don't like to hear truth bluntly, because when they hear truth bluntly, they retract because they know they're guilty. Guilt is one of those greatest motivators to not listen to people. Are you taking a cookie? No. Your hand's in the cookie jar. That wasn't my hand. I mean, that's literally what we're dealing with. So the only way we're going to be able to communicate, and I'm going to resurrect one of my dad's great sayings that he used to have, and I've used it as a metaphor my whole life in business, and it truly is something to keep in mind. I can't tell you right now exact examples. Maybe I'll come up with one in a minute here, but here's how what the saying is. A velvet-covered mallet. Okay, now the metaphor is pretty simple. Sometimes we want to hit them upside the head with a steel hammer. But the approach is to be able to work the conversation more like a parable than direct communication. Christ spoke in parables for a reason. And that with that, what he was doing is to present ways of thinking that basically circumvented the brainwashing of the era. He understood that his disciples understood it. Many people didn't understand it, but over time, as those would work in their head, they would unlock some of the mystery that was within the parable. We have to think that way with these people that are taking the injection. Because if you walk up and go, like I like to do on the show, did you take the vaccine? Yes, you're an idiot. Generally speaking, that doesn't provoke a positive conversation. Just saying. It's probably not going to get real far. You're going to be like, what? You're an idiot. And then we're going to be like fighting words. And that is until they take a swing and they realize they don't have any energy anymore. I'm going like, what's wrong with you? I'm tired. Oh, your heart's damaged because you took the vax. Yeah, like I said, you're an idiot. And then I'll walk away. Anyway, just kidding. But that was my empathy showing there, just so we say that. The whole point here is that we have to find a better way of communicating this so that we can be heard. And this is particularly important with family members. The other thing is we have to remember the power of the story of Joseph as he filled the grain silos. And when I say this, and this is a little bit dark, but I want to put this out here. And I'm just going to be very raw and truthful about it. We're all going to lose people in our families, Patriots. I don't think there's any avoiding this. And I'm not encouraging death, but I'm telling you what these people have done to themselves and what they're willing to do for the sake of their fear is probably going to put them on death's door in the next 3 years. Now, we have a couple of options. We can ignore it or mock it. We can burden ourselves with the pain and bemoan and cry over the loss. Or we can take the moment as it is, and this is what I would suggest, and pray and try to bring them salvation at the last moment, even if they are dying, to get them to re-accept Christ in their heart, and use that as an opportunity to bring mending to their soul. I am not making light in any way of what we are going to be facing. It's a heavy thing for many, especially families that are split by this. And I'm sorry for that. But we also have a war to fight, and we have a job to do. And we have to accept that if we've done what we've said we've tried to do and they've ignored it, we don't have control over what their decisions are. One person said to me a while ago, and I've given this a lot of thought, and sometimes the more I think about it, there may be some truth to it. And that is that these decisions were made at a soul level long before the injection was ever brought about or offered. Because there's so much determination by some people to follow that path, there was nothing that would have saved them from going there. That may be true. And again, it's something we just have to reflect on. These are all frameworks to reel in pain, resolve the issues of loss, and to give ourselves tools for what is coming. But we do need to stay very close in our relationship with God. And as we know, God demands of us things that we also are not comfortable with. There is a lot that is going to happen, and there's a lot that's going to be demanded of us to be there and to do, as I've said so many times, what the Irish Prime Minister said. Never will so much be asked of so few by so many. The more that I let those words sink in, the more that I realize that whether he intended it or not, those words are ringing more true by the very day. So it is very important that we keep our communities and our fellowships very strong. It's important that these fellowships are built on these platforms and have ways of connecting off of these platforms. Events like Bard's Fest will give you an opportunity to meet people. It will give you an opportunity to network with people. Not just emails, but hopefully telephone numbers and other things if you can find the trust. This is one of the things that we have to do, because one of the things I can guarantee you that the cabal would love to do is to break up this entire group. To shatter it to the wind. And we will continue to follow and find each other and reconnect, but it's in those moments that they like to strike. So build your trust, build your networks. Know that you have people there. And have those networks there as things unravel. Don't take things for granted. Don't assume that things will not be attacked by the cabal. Always presume that the cabal hates you more than you can possibly imagine, and then up it by 10%, actually up it by a factor of 10. And that's about the beginning point of how much they hate you. Embrace the fact that those in that cabal group relish in watching you suffer because they're psychopaths. And when you start to get that in your head, you start to realize that, one, they are no threat because that's just who they are. You've accepted the enemy for what it is. Two, that there's going to be death and destruction. There's nothing we can do to stop it. So get on your adult panties. Get your big boy pants on and get ready. And get serious about this in that way. Find your mechanisms to cope. You'll find the people that have been in war often come up with some pretty dark humor, and it's uncomfortable for those people that are not familiar with it to be around, but it is a coping mechanism. And it's something to deal with, and you're going to have to find those coping mechanisms to develop patterns in your life that are regular routines that give you peace and solace, like working in the garden, sewing, canning, reading books, but doing something physical is always better, building something. And make sure you have fellowship and community with people. It doesn't matter whether they live next to you or not. And it's better that you have more than one, because at times you're going to need somebody to reach out to, and you can't lay it all on one person. There aren't that many people out there that can really carry a lot of these things on their own. People that have experienced death and this sort of loss of closeness are probably better equipped to deal with what's coming. And there's going to be a lot of people that are just going to be in pain. So, above all, keep Christ in your heart. Don't live in a cloud and try to live in denial that it's not going to happen somehow. Stay away from the stupid hopiums about, you know, there's some sort of great event going to come that's going to save humanity, because I just don't buy it. And I'll tell you, it's like this. I don't allow it in my head, because if it happens, then holy cow, let's praise the Lord and let's do that. But if we're waiting for that, we're going to be sorely disappointed. What's before us is very real. And what is looming at us is like staring at the face of a hurricane or a tornado and then saying, well, I don't think it's going to hit me, when it's coming right at your path. Be diligent about preparing for what's to come, because when this sort of destruction happens, it's going to affect most everything that you know. It's going to affect your business. It's going to affect your relationships at the store, your ability to get food. It's going to affect the ability to get gas. It's going to affect everything. Nothing's going to be untouched by this. I mean, just consider a simple thing. We're already having gas shortages on July 4th weekend in the Northwest because this dumb policy. Really, what it comes down to is it's not just this hand puppet we have for a president. But the fact is, or the fact that the United States is being run by foreign powers right now, the fact is that people are not flying, so they're driving more, and the demand is up by 2,000 to 3,000 times what it normally is. And the response is that they need more deliveries, but they physically don't have the drivers to do it. So we're going to go through a shortage period. Well, what's going to happen when some of those drivers are dead or incapacitated to drive? And who's going to replace them? Because they don't have the system set up yet. All of this is intentional. It's their design. But we have to be smarter and better than that. And the way that we're smarter than better is to remember the story of the silos and Joseph. Prepare. Don't procrastinate, prepare. And every day is a little bit more preparation. It should be your pattern anyway. That every single day you're doing something to make better for the next day. in preparation. You never know when it's going to hit. And with all those things before you, then you're in a place to better deal with what's coming. And at the center point of all things is the Bible, Christ, and through Christ to the Father. So my last words on this is, if you're one of these that studies the Bible exclusively through the digital means, buy a paper Bible. And I'm serious. Because the last thing you want, and the first thing on the top of your prep list, the last thing you want is not to have a Bible, and the first thing on the top of your prep list better be a Bible. Because in everything else, the one thing that will always feed you in one way or another is your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. That is our foundation. That is our strength. And with that, we can conquer anything. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, as we do each and every night. And it's a time that we move through a lot of thoughts and a lot of emotions. And we pray this evening, Lord, more than ever, that you can give us clarity and strength in these days ahead as we start to see very clearly some of the storm that's coming at us. Lord, in no way have we ever stopped praying or will ever stop praying for the healing of the many. And we pray that that can be done. And we hope that that can be done. But we're also confounded with a very difficult moment, Lord, where we're realizing that the stubbornness and the unwillingness to accept truth or accountability is leading a portion of humanity down a path that may not have a resolve but to suffer a loss or death through the decisions that they make. And sadly, Lord, as you know, as we are human, we are made in your image. Those pains are pains that we will feel. So we pray for the ability to unleaven our burden, to take it off of our shoulders, to have you guide us and help us through these moments, to see clearly, to give us solid footing as we go forward, to always keep that faith in our hearts, that love of Christ within us, and through Christ to you, Lord, to find our connection with you and to keep true on this path that will honor you in all things. Remove our fear through you, and to find strength when we think that we don't have any, to find resolve when we feel the tank is empty, and to find the force to move through this, not just to get through it, but to lead the many through it, to find salvation through you. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. Lots of things to think about. And they're heavy times. And as we dig into these topics, they get messy. I think every one of us would smile greatly if suddenly there was some sort of crack in the skies and chariots arrived, or the military swooped in and suddenly fixed everything. But I think we can be fairly realistic to say that that would be wonderful, but at this point in time, probably unlikely, at least in that way, because in the end of this, there's a big message that we all should be hearing, which is that we have to be part of the solution. We just can't have somebody else fix it for us. If we're truly going to evolve as humanity, we have to be the ones that are part of the solution, not casting it off for Big Daddy in whatever form that takes to fix it for us. And that's probably the biggest red pill that everybody has to swallow. And that one's coated with some bitter coating. Because in the end, that means we're accountable for our actions in all things. And that accountability right now is right before us. And it's big. And its outcome is going to hinge on a remnant that has to remain dedicated to the path that God puts before us, to love thy neighbor as we would want to be loved, to help those in need, to give voice to the innocent, to be honorable to ourselves and our partners, our wives or our husband, to love our children and protect them, to live without fear, to walk with faith, and above all, love God more than everybody and anybody as we put Christ in our heart, and it's through Christ to the Father. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. God is with us. Prayer's up. We need him. A lot of prayer strength. God will never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. My intention, as I would hope all of yours is to be there right then when he wins. I want to be on that finish line with him. Have a very blessed night. I'll see you in the morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Thank you. Good night. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now.
Thank you.
is my mind. We run away sometimes when belonging becomes something to find. We always come back to what we know. Keep it close on the cold days, darling. Counting all the ways where you are a safe place to hide from the rain.